A little different timing on this morning. I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer and meditation. Spirit of life-giving love and love-giving life. Spirit of a beautiful autumn morning, sun shining. Spirit of an hour given back once a year. Spirit of our gathering together. Help us to hold this moment, taking pause to be aware of the beauty that surrounds us. Taking pause to know where brokenness exists in our lives and around them. Taking pause to be grateful. Taking pause to gather the awareness we might hold so that we can be our most authentic selves, offering our greatest integrity, ready to accept the integrity and authenticity of others. Let us hold this moment together in quiet. Amen.
Our ancient reading is a slightly adapted version of Psalm 4 of the Hebrew Scriptures. Answer me when I call to you, O God, who declares me innocent. Free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will people ruin my reputation? How long will they make groundless accusations? How long will they continue their lies? You can be sure of this: the Highest set apart the godly for himself. Will the Highest answer when I call? Do not sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Many people say, who will show us better times? Let your face smile on us, O Lord of life. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone will keep me safe. Our modern reading is from the Day of Affirmation speech delivered by Robert Kennedy at the University of Cape Town, South Africa, June 6, 1966. Each time a person stands up for an ideal or acts to improve a lot of others or strikes out against injustice, that person sends forth a tiny ripple of hope, and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. If Athens shall appear great to you, said Pericles, consider then that her glories were purchased by valiant men and by men who learned their duty. That is the source of all greatness in all societies, and it is the key to progress in our time.
So the movie No Country for Old Men, how many of you saw that? The movie No Country for Old Men was not an easy one for me to watch. I don't think I'm in any position to judge whether or not it was a good or a bad movie. It was just a tough one to watch. When it won so many awards a couple of years ago, I thought, well, I should probably see that because many of you would be seeing it. It was brutal. The violence was repulsive, and it was intended, I think, to be revolting, and it was. I know that a lot of people enjoyed it for its intensity and intrigue, but I can't really say that I found much redeeming about it until towards the very end. There's a seemingly endless spree of horrendous, brutal murders committed by Anton Sugar, the anti-hero or antichrist in the movie, and Sheriff Bell, who is obsessed with the thought of catching Sugar and ending the bloodshed, is as much of a hero as the narrative is willing to offer. And in one of the final scenes of the movie, after Sugar escapes his pursuers yet one more time, Bell meets up with his uncle in a remote cabin, and his uncle's in a wheelchair, and the two men have a conversation at Uncle Ellis's cabin, and we pick up their dialogue into it, and the uncle speaks first. I got a letter from your wife. She writes pretty regular, tells me the family news. Didn't know there was any. She just told me you were quitting. Sit down. So the sheriff picks up an electric percolator on his uncle's counter and offers it to his uncle. Want a cup? Appreciate it. How fresh is this coffee? I generally make a fresh pot every week, even if there is some left over. So the sheriff pours some, and then he says, you know, that man that shot you died in prison. In Angola, yeah, I know. What would you have done if he'd been released? I don't know. Nothing. Wouldn't be no point to it. Kindly surprised to hear you say that. And the old man answers, all the time you spend trying to get back what's been took from you, there's more going out the back door. After a while, you just try to get a tourniquet on it. Your granddad never asked me to sign on as a deputy. I'd done that myself. Loretta says you're quitting. How come you're doing that? I don't know. I feel overmatched. I always thought when I got older, God would sort of come into my life in some way. He didn't, and I don't blame him. If I was him, I'd have the same opinion about me that he does. You don't know what he thinks. Yes, I do. And then the old man goes on. I sent Uncle Mac's badge and his old thumbbuster to the Rangers for their museum over there. Your daddy ever tell you how Uncle Mac came to his reward? And then his uncle continues. He was shot down on the porch there in Hudspeth County. There was 7 or 8 of them come to the house wanting this and wanting that. Mac went in and got his shotgun, but they was way ahead of him and shot him down in his own doorway. Aunt Ella run out and tried to stop the bleeding, him trying to get hold of his shotgun again. They just sat there on their horses watching him die. Finally, one of them says something in Injun, and then they all turned and left out. Well, Mac knew the score, even if Aunt Ella didn't. Shot through the left lung, and that was that, as they say. She buried him the next morning, digging in that hard caliche. And he pauses. What you got ain't nothing new. This country's hard on people, hard and crazy, got the devil in it. Yet folks never seem to hold it to account. And the sheriff answers, most don't. His uncle says, you're discouraged. I'm discouraged. And the old man concludes, you can't stop what's coming. Ain't all waiting on you. That's vanity. So Ellis's message is that we don't get to choose what world we're born into. We don't get to choose the evil that we have to fight. We don't get to fight the last generation's devil. There are always new ones being formed. The world we find, the world we discover, is the one that's real for us. You can't stop what's coming. It ain't all waiting on you. What we get to choose for good or for ill, what we get to choose is our response to the world in which we find ourselves. Kind of a tough message. So I found myself this last week thinking a lot about this scene and about the message in it following the elections. I wasn't surprised by the elections, but I was greatly disappointed. I have to feel that the outcome of the election was the collective voice of the majority of Americans, and what that voice is saying to me at least is the hand that we've been dealt is just too frightening to sort out. We're not going to play this hand. And we're going to make damn sure that nobody else plays it either for us or against it, against us. I don't begin to imagine that everyone here feels the same way that I do about the election. I don't. I trust that there are many people who feel differently. There are those here, and I suspect that, like many citizens across the country expressed, where they said that where things are going, all we can manage to do is put on the brakes and to put them on just as hard as we can. I trust that this is one of many possibly reasonable responses. I have to say, though, that it's not one that helps me find hope in our future, just stopping things. I want to feel hopeful about the future. Like the psalmist, I want to know who's going to show us better times. Satire humorist Stephen Colbert sent a message to the American people this past Wednesday on his show. He said, "This election is forever and ever. That way that you're feeling now, depressed, fearful, embittered, hopeful, joyous, hungry, gassy, obsequious, persnickety, get used to it, because that feeling is the new definition of you." I don't want to get used to the way that I'm feeling. I'm finding that this is a very tough place to live. At the Y this week, there were lots of jokes about moving to Canada again. I usually don't appreciate those jokes, but I have to admit that this time I gave them a little more ear. Canada, maybe not such a bad idea. But I don't want to feel that way. If I'm going to feel any other way, though, I know that it will require that I do something in order to feel different. I know that. I may not be able to stop what's coming, and I know that nothing is waiting on me except me. If I want things to be different, if I want me to be different, then what I need to do must be different as well. The way I see it, if I'm going to do my part to deal with what's coming, there are two fronts that I need to face, the spiritual and the mechanical, and there really isn't that much difference between the two of them. Mechanics are usually the simpler of the two, and being a part of this congregation makes the mechanics a fairly easy thing to respond with. Several years ago, when things were looking particularly disparaging for the religious right and the ultra-right wing of this country, they very strategically began to build from the bottom up, and their motto was local, local, local. If a more progressive voice is to one day prevail again, it too will need to take a page from that same book. We have access to many local opportunities for a progressive social agenda here from this congregation. And I want to be clear about something at this point. I'm not talking about partisan politics. I am not violating our 501c3 status. What I'm suggesting is that we need to organize so that our liberal religious values are being exercised from the bottom up. What values? The affirmation and the promotion of the inherent worth and dignity of every person, regardless of race or ethnicity, regardless of documentation or sexual identity or orientation or anything else, and the promotion and affirmation of the interdependent web of all existence, including our planet, our ecosystems, and our food chain. Those kinds of values. What are the local opportunities available to us here at the U? There is our after-school tutoring program, which mentors at-risk children from our neighborhood school up the street at Hillside so that they might experience some success in the academic arena. Pete Williams, who is our director of that program, tells me that we always need volunteers for the after-school program. We can serve as many children as volunteers we have. Each week, Francesca Elms, who's the chair of our Peace and Justice Coalition, sends out an email with countless opportunities for participation, and most of them are not very demanding. She asks that you choose just one thing from that list to do each week. If you're not on her email list, we can get you on it. Just let us know. As a congregation, we belong to two local coalitions of religious organizations for social change. One is New Jersey Together at Montclair, an interfaith partnership of Montclair congregations affiliated with other similar organizations in communities throughout the metro area. And there just happens to be a meeting of our chapter tomorrow night right over on Union Street at Union Baptist Church, on Midland Street at Union Baptist Church at 7:30, and Johanna Foster, our coordinator of that effort, and I and a number of other members of our congregation will be there, and you are welcome to please join us. Again, it's something already here for us to be a part of. It's a vehicle for us to move out of what might feel like a temporary setback and to help us to make a difference. The other group that we belong to is the Unitarian Universalist Legislative Ministries of New Jersey, the UULMNJ. This is a coalition of UU congregations from across the state that attempts to give our UU values voice in the creation of public policy for the state of New Jersey. And I'm the current president of the 501c4 board of that organization, and Diane Finn is our congregational liaison, and she'll be meeting with folks at noon today. But the current focus of the UULMNJ is affordable housing, and many of you know that there is currently important legislation in Trenton that's pending on that issue. And UULMNJ has already had an incredible impact on that legislation. We made great strides with legislators this spring to even have a bill that bears the possibility of fairness, and we need to be on top of it as the bill that exists goes to our legislatures. And it just happens that one of the two annual meetings of that organization, of UULMNJ, will take place this coming Saturday at Morristown UU Fellowship. And let me know if you'd like to join me, because I will be going to that meeting as well. We don't have to accept Stephen Colbert's tongue-in-cheek rebuke to acquiescence. We don't have to accept that how we feel now is the way that we will feel in the future. We don't have to quit. We can hardly afford to quit. Even though we may find ourselves in a very tough situation, we can play these cards that we've been dealt and still impact the future in ways that we want it to be impacted. The choice to participate continues to be ours. And for the spiritual side of things, and too often in my thinking, spirituality is considered to be some kind of a personal or private relationship with a higher or inner power. It's about relationships, and it's about personal relationships like that in part. But I think that it's only in small part. If the goal of spirituality is solely to achieve some sort of introspective high or calm, I think that we may be missing the opportunities of our lifetime. If we dig inward deeply enough, all we do is bury our heads in the sand, missing the connections that could otherwise hold us in relationship with others and with our world. Spirituality is about relationship, beginning with the inner, and then going to the interpersonal. Here is where I think universalism got to the heart of the matter. None of us are individually saved. If any of us is saved, we all are. And Unitarianism adds that not only is God one, but that we are one with God. Interpret the idea of God however you will. For me, there is a spirit of life, and we are one in that spirit. Any spiritual response to the popular defeat of deeply held spiritual and social values would need to contain the very same values that went down in defeat. If we are going to wage a spiritual response to defeat, it will need to be a moral, ethical response. If we want to see good in the public square, it will need to be up to each of us to take goodness into the public square. I suspect that we do indeed need to look deep within ourselves in order to find that kind of goodness, but it will remain a hollow and shallow goodness until we can find ways to express it in affirming and promoting the inherent worth and dignity of every person, until we find ways of expressing it in affirming and promoting the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part. And finally, a spiritual response most likely needs to be one that engenders hope. Each time a person stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lots of others or strikes out against injustice, RFK said, that person sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. I wish I could say that if we buried our hands in the sand for the next couple of years, this would all blow over. Something would blow over, I'm sure, but I doubt that it would be to our liking. These are tough times, and they require that we be strong in thought and strong indeed in our response to them. My longtime mentor, Reverend Alan Egley, sent me an email this week. He said that he was feeling too blue after the election. He came across a collection of quotations put together by the late Reverend Dick Gilbert. And he said that these quotations made him feel better, and he hoped that they might help me to feel better. And so I offer them to you in that same hope. Democracy is not a spectator sport, Marian Wright Edelman. By their fruits you shall know them, St. James. The vocation of every man and every woman is to serve other people, wrote Leo Tolstoy. The great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it, William James. They who work in harmony with justice are immortal, Olympia Brown. People become house builders through building houses, harp players through playing the harp. We grow to be just by doing things that are just, Aristotle. Be ashamed to die until you have won some great victory for humanity, Horace Mann. We are not called to be successful, only to be faithful, Mother Teresa. It is when we all play safe that we create a world of utmost insecurity, Dag Hammarskjöld. Reform is the watchword. Failure is impossible, Susan B. Anthony. One person with a belief is a social power equal to 99 who have only interests, John Stuart Mill. No one has a right to sit down and feel hopeless. There is just too much work to do, Dorothy Day. And finally, from Annie Dillard, there is no one but us. Our time to quit growing spiritually or to stop making efforts to transform the world around us will come only when we come to our time to die. Now is not the time to roll over. This is our time to shine, and to shine as brightly as we possibly can. Our future, the future of what may yet be, this great nation, the future of our world, hangs in the balance. And so may we find our way to that promised land with acts that are guided by our faith, our hope, and our love. Amen. What is it that sounds along the ages? What is it that sounds from Sinai's cliffs and echoes? What is it that calls and lo, new justice appears? It is the possibilities of love. They are left in our hands. As we extinguish our chalice, this worship comes to an end and our service begins. Blessed be and amen.